My name's Ben. For those of you guys that haven't met me, and a few weeks ago we were talking about this run cannot be in vain, and I couldn't be more excited about this message for this evening with the testimonies that I'm hearing around the table. And the mindset behind this idea is, well, we're going to go into it scripturally, but let this run not be in vain. Now, how many times in our lives we make great strides, you know, 6 months, 6 years, 6 weeks, over with, right? How many times do we go 2-3 months, everything's good, 2 years, everything's good, and then all over again, right? Yes or no?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Who's tired of that?
Amen.
Amen? Right? And the idea that I'm thinking right now is let this not be in vain. You know, scripturally, what are we looking at? What are we really doing here? Because the reality of it is if God has the ability to give me faith to make this one be the finish line, then that's what I want, right? Aside from all the other things that pull me off track, wouldn't I just want to be on track one more time, you know, to get there? Because I don't want this one to be 3 years long, right? I don't want this one to be 5 years long. I don't want it to be 5 months long. I don't want my kids to look in my eyes again and look at me in the way that they know they can't trust or depend on me anymore. I want my family to still be able to look me eye to eye and know that when I tell you something, I mean it and I do it because I said it. Amen? Right? Let this run not be in vain. You know, no more roller coasters, right? I'd rather just walk uphill from now on. Just uphill a little bit than go back down again. You know, and I know that I've had many of those. And I got a introduction verse for you guys in Ezekiel 18:24. He says, "But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to the abominations that wicked men do, will he live? All the righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered for his treachery when he has committed the sin in which he has committed, for then he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, is my way not right, or are your ways not right? For when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies because of it, for his iniquity he's committed, that he will die. But again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he's committed, and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life. Because he's considered and turned away from his transgressions, which he's committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. But you say, the way of the Lord is not right. But are my ways not right? Or is it that your ways are not right? For therefore, I will judge each of you according to your conduct. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away all of your transgressions that you committed, and make yourselves a new heart, a new spirit. For why will you die? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live." And it's just such a powerful message for us to look at and think about. And there's a lot of good things to point out in that message, and we'll come back to it. But in the midst of everything going down during Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus speaks to Simon, and he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And there's something that I really want to point out in this verse. To sift is an inward agitation. It's an inward agitation. You think about sifting, it's the screen that separates the wheat from the chaff. But at the end of the chaff, when they're doing a production of wheat, they discard and burn away. And in the verse, he said, Satan demands permission to sift you like wheat. And I know that we don't live 2,000 years ago, but I would almost argue that it's almost as equally tempting or frustrating to live in today's society, because there's so many different ways to inwardly agitate us in everything that we do, right? Every time you go outside, there's somebody that's going to piss you off. There's somebody that's in your way. There's going to be a challenge. Things don't go right. None of us make enough money, right? Or we do, we don't think we do. But I mean, you, what kind of ways, you know, how is it that he's sifting me? And that's what I want to look at. You know, if I'm always going to be challenged, so woe to those that challenges, that it is impossible that challenges will not come, but woe to him through whom they do come. This is what he's saying, is that we're going to be challenged, right? But if you look at our track history in the run, when we're challenged, what's our go-to? What's our go-to? I know what my go-to was, right? I know the go-to that took me to the same place, that took me to the same place, that took me to the same place for how long? 15 different times for how many different stints for how much time, you know? How much longer are they going to grow up without me being there? Amen? Right? Yes or no? Think about it. Am I willing to go that route today? Do I want? I made a decision a long time ago that I'm done with noodle cups. Amen, right? I'm just going to tell you right now, I can whip them up, but I'm done. I'm done. Not going to go there. And he looks at him and he said, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail in you once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So when I think about that, it's not his faith that didn't fail. His faith is what kept him on track. Now his dignity, his character, the temptation caused him to fail, right? He failed. But he looked at him and he said, once you turn again, what he gave him a mission, what was it? He said, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. And that, and this is the thing that we can hold on to today. A lot of you guys have testimonies. A lot of you guys made great strides. And Mark says the first 60 days he's ever been sober since he can remember. Amen? Right? That's amazing. You know, that's amazing. And then and Lyle said 7 years, but he's in the mission. Right? So he sends us back to where we come from and gives us the ability to share that advice of where we came from. You know, I went through the mud. And then I made a good run, and then I went through the mud, and I made a good run, and I went through the mud, and I made a good run. And then all of a sudden, he sat me down for 5 years. I was one of the ones that actually got to live, and I was lucky enough to be alive. And throughout those 5 years, I spent 2.5 hours a day studying the Word of God. And during that time frame, he restored my home. He made a place for me when I returned, and he kept me to be able to control my own self when I came home. Amen? Now, their faith is the only thing that has the ability to do that. Because I don't know how many of you realize we have an enemy out there. Satan is our enemy. Yes, he is our enemy. But he don't need to be my enemy if I'm my own enemy. Amen? If I'm the ticking time bomb here, what does he need to focus on me for? Right? Because you know I'm only going to run for 7 months. I'm going to make it look good until you walk away. But the reality is when the door closes and I'm all by myself at night, I know what the reality is. Amen? Right? I'm the bomb. So faith, you know, and he said, once you turn again, strengthen your brothers. He knew that he would succeed, that he wouldn't succeed. However, Peter would repent and therefore regain his faith. In Proverbs 24, he said, for a righteous man falls 7 times, 7 times he gets up. Amen. That means no matter how many times I knock me down, you knock me down, or the world knocks me down, I get back up. I don't know how many times the different entrepreneurials that I've studied and met throughout the course of this last, you know, decade or so that talked about success being built on failures. And I don't want to make the mistake of saying that it's okay to relapse or make a mistake like that. I don't want to promote that or say that that's even a good idea at all. But then there's all these different testimonies, and there's some of these testimonies that went backwards, and they said, I had a taste of that, and I realized that that's not for me anymore. I realized that when God put me here, and then he brought that in my life, when I looked at it, it was ugly. It wasn't beautiful anymore. Amen? Because, you know, when that temptation comes along, if you viewed it as ugly as it really is, right? So, well, if I'm going to fall victim to this temptation, my wife's no longer going to love me. My children are no longer going to look up to me. I'm going to lose my home, my car, and eventually I'm going to be back on noodle cups again. If it looked like that, I wouldn't want it. Amen? But it doesn't. It's this beautiful facade of a plan, of an idea that makes me think that I'm going to fall victim to move forward in that direction. It's this carpet. So I get you to walk farther up on the carpet so I can pull it from you. And you think about that for a minute. It doesn't present itself, you know, as ugly as it truly is. But every time that temptation comes in our mind today, we realize that, exploit that, point it out. Then he said, I don't want it. Because what he said right here, it doesn't matter if you're a righteous or an unrighteous man. It doesn't matter who you've been or where you've been or what you got. He said clearly right here, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness and practices. What does that mean, practice? Does that mean you got it already? Does that mean you're going to run 100% tomorrow? No. Does that mean okay? Does that mean make excuses when you fail? No, but to practice something means I try again, and I try again, and I try again. And the verse states, when a righteous man falls down 7 times, 7 times he gets up. Amen?
Amen.
When you think about that, practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life. I have a testimony for that. I believe in that, and I believe in that for you guys. But the message today is let this run not be in vain. Let this run not be in vain. Paul's take on this, and when he's looking at the run itself in 1 Corinthians, he says, "Do you not know that all of those run the race all run, but the one, only one of them receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Then they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we the imperishable. For therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way at not beating the air. I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others that I myself may not be disqualified." And I think that's such a powerful thing for Paul to say. If somebody who wrote, 40, 30, 45% of the New Testament's thinking to himself, "I got to keep myself on track." Does that mean that maybe I'm a little overconfident today, being the man that I am? Right? This guy wrote 40% of the New Testament. He said, if I don't stay on track, then I'll be disqualified in this race. And this race is eternal. Amen? It's an eternal race. And you think about staying in the race, taking on the task of living in Christ or living a Christ-like life. What am I constantly doing or wasting my energy and time? He said, I'm boxing against the air. If we're beating the air, what are we getting accomplished? Amen? And I feel like, when we look at our lives and we look at our track history, or we look at our plans today, what we're getting involved with, what we're doing, are we beating the air or are we getting somewhere? And that's what Paul was talking about. He said, I'm not going to box against beating against the air. I know how many times I woke up and I asked myself, how did I get here? How did I get here? You ever ask yourself that? You just wake up one day and you look around and you think to yourself, how did I get here? How did this happen again? And I think that throughout the time frame, we convince ourselves when we're beating the air that we're getting somewhere. When in reality, we're just setting ourselves up. I can't tell you how many times I've been inside, listening to people try to figure out how to get back inside before they got outside. They're just going to do it better. Right? They got it this time. No, I figured out what the defect was. I've got it right this time. We're going to get together. We're going to figure it out. But no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not. You're coming back. You know what I mean? Odds that you get off house arrest or probation are minus 7%. Just listening to the mindset. And I got to think, is that mindset me? Is that what I'm doing today? Right? And we got to look at ourselves closely. We close our eyes right now and look at who I am and what I've done today. Who I am and what I've done this week. Are the things that I'm committed to benefiting my future? Amen? Are the things that I'm committed to benefiting my faith, right? Because if faith is the only thing that has the ability to strengthen and keep me safe, then faith is the only thing that I can grow, the only thing that I can promote. Set goals and plans that count, keeping on the path. What are some good spiritual goals that we can set? I know that a lot of times Marvin passed out reading plans. Those of us that do read and don't read, I would recommend reading every single day. And this is a good group. We can network together to look at verses and say, hey, what's this mean or what's that mean? And we always have, there's mentors in this room here today that are here to help you guys, right? They come here, they pick you guys up, they pick us guys up. They do whatever we can specifically to help, and that's the reason why they're here. Amen? Right? So get in that word and ask questions. Share that word. Sharing the word keeps us focused. Prayer. Prayer is such an important component to communication. And prayer is our communication with God. And I talk a lot about when we have close friends and we don't speak to them for a really long time, we tend to fall off, right? We don't talk to them for a long time. So they kind of go do their thing. We kind of do our thing. They start to fall off. But I don't want that with my relationship and my faith. So if I'm not taking the time out to pray and exercise and grow my faith, then my faith begins to weaken. There's a statement of a different message about the law of change states that nothing can be the same. So that right now, we are different than we were 10 minutes ago and 10 minutes before that and 10 minutes, that nothing can ever be the same. The idea of the philosophy of complacency in that if I could just make it to a decent job, if I could just have a decent house, if I could just have a decent car, and then I'll get there, I'm going to be fine. That's all I need. Right? So we set ourselves up that we have this platform of this idea in our life that this is what we need to get to. But the reality is this is even nowhere where we need to be, and really, spiritually and physically, right? And provision's a kingdom principle. So the funny thing is as I continue to set God out of my life thinking that I'm going to give up something, I'm losing everything that He has for me to gain. Right? So the provision's a kingdom principle. So if I think that I'm going to give up these things and lose these things because I'm going to commit to my faith, but the reality is once I've committed to my faith, all the rest to follow. He said, what did He say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And then He said, I can't paraphrase it right now. I'm lost in my message. But and all else shall follow. Thank you, Pammy. That's why. And she said she didn't have nothing to say today. Mm-hmm. Set her up. Think about this for a minute, guys. Just for a second. If God's perspective is, I'm going to lay this out for us, and I'm going to give you free will to live in the land and choose to do your own things, and I'm going to love you no matter what you choose. No matter what you choose, I'm going to love you. But this is how I'm going to lay it out. He's going to say, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. And I think about that. And he says, remember him before the silver cord is broken, the golden bowl is crushed, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And I think that a lot of times we feel like we are invincible and that we have plenty of time to get it right. And I know that there were probably a good 15 years where I played the fence and struggled really bad myself. And I always thought to myself, I'm going to get it right, I'm going to get it right, I'm going to get there, I'm going to get there. And then deep, deep down, I could hear my conscience, or I could hear him speaking to me, and I knew he was in the background. Or people would come in that I didn't really know very well, and they would say Christian things to me or try to pray with me or touch me. And I think I had a guy that was this tall pray on me for like 3 years before the shell finally broke and I started to pay attention just to read it for myself. But he said, remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. It's just thinking about this tells me that we're on a time frame here. Amen. And I know that we're on a time frame because how many of us have lost loved ones? Right? I'm 41 right now. I can't tell you how many deaths I've seen of people my age or younger or older, you know, in the lifespan of people in the different groups and circles that I've known that fell to drugs, alcohol, violence, or just strange natural causes. You know, just people, you know, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Amen? We got to start living like that. We got to think about that. He said, remember him before that silver cord is cut. And I got to think to myself, like, if today's my last day, if today's my last day, did I live it the way I should have lived it? Did I leave the impression on the ones that depend on me that they needed to have so that tomorrow when they woke up and I'm gone, they didn't say, oh, he's just a bag of whatever anyway, right? Right? Or did you leave the kind of impression on them that said, you know what? He was a man of value. She was a woman of value. And I looked up to her. And she had God's principles. And because that's the way she was, that's the way I'm going to be. Amen? You can build things in the people that are in your network that are lasting, that are longer, that last longer than we do. And talking about the run, let's go back to the run again. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. And I know we were talking about building up, making a lot of progress, and then it being gone. Making a lot of progress, and then it being gone. And then you think about that. We said this in Haggai, and he puts it out here very simply for us to think about. He said, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in the panel houses which he lies desolate? Therefore, the Lord says to hosts, consider your ways. You've sown so much, but harvest little. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You drink, but you're always thirsty. Put on clothes, but no one's warm enough. He who earns wages to put in a bag with empty holes. For thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. And when you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house lies desolate while each of you run to your own house. And he's, and I can apply this to every single principle. And one of the things that you talk about is, what are you lacking in your life right now? Where are you lacking in your life right now? It's there that you should begin your ministry to give. Amen. I know that's such a paradox and it doesn't make sense at all. But the thing is this, the Lord says clearly, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now on this, says the Lord of hosts, that I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will be not enough room to see it. And then David comes back and he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, you don't believe me? Try me. Don't believe me? Try me. Right? And one of the things I like to preach about is, if I'm lacking in love today, let me ask you this honest question. When am I sharing it? Right? Amen? Because whatever we plant, says, whatever a man shall plant, this he shall reap. Right? So if I'm lacking in confidence today, when am I sharing that? Right? Wherever my lack is, that's where I need to plant. I need to look. So a lot of us are suffering and we say, you know, what am I going to do here? This is a situation I can't control. Da, 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 da. But the reality is, if I throw my hands up right now, is my situation going to change?
No.
If I return back to the same old decisions that took me left field, am I going to get different results?
No.
So why wouldn't I be willing to try something new today? Something strange today? You know, try maybe say, you know what? If what you say is true about this word, then I'll read it. And David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Test me. Try me on this, what he said. And I know that how many people in this room has been affected in their lives by faith?
Amen.
By a show of hands. Honestly. So almost every single person in the room has been affected by their faith. And David said, try it, taste it, and see that the Lord is good. And I want to think about this before we come to a close. He says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70, or due to strength, 80. Yet our pride is labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and then we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. The focus today, a lot of times, is the problem. The perspective today, in my run, when I look at my life, and my social status, or my achievements, and I see where I'm at. Am I putting myself down right now? If what I'm seeing on TV, or what I'm seeing with my friends, or what I'm seeing, is that what's causing my perspective what the problem is? Because if it is, I got to move that out of the way for a minute. Amen? You know, Christ said, come as you are, all ye that are burdened, and I will give you rest. Right? Amen? He said, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are, who you are, exactly the way you are, but come and I will give you rest. And that's the key. And understanding that my perspective today is that I cannot be one of the things that he's not gonna sift me with is just, have you guys ever struggled with being content?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You ever struggled with contentment in your life? I think that was one of the biggest things that took me. I couldn't sit still. I wouldn't go home. I'd go home, I'd be thinking about where I needed to go. The minute I get home, if there was somebody else there, I'd have to come up with an argument to figure out how I'm going to get out so I can get back out of there, right? So I just couldn't be content in one spot. But yet, the hole was never filled. That next day, you got to deal with last night. Amen? But that don't make it any better. But the Bible said, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men. And I know that we talk about this verse a lot, but it's a great idea in that if I just have this huge hole in my life that can't be filled, no matter what drug or person or achievement or dollar amount that I put into it, if it's a hole, how will it be filled? Amen? But he designed this whole for us to have a relationship with him. And only faith in Christ seals that void. That's the answer to the void. The void in question is faith. So when we said, let this run not be in vain. Let this one right now. Promise yourself today that you're not going backwards tomorrow. Amen? Right? Look at your situation and say, this one right here is going across the finish line. And or if you wake up and you're in the ACJ and you're waiting for your attorney to contact you, let that run not be in vain if you're still alive. Amen? Let's pray.